Takakwitha, a young blossom. Kateri Takakwitha was born in the year 1656. Her father was a Mohawk warrior, and her mother, a Christian Algonquin captive, who had been brought up and baptized among the French settlers at Three Rivers in Canada, the Iroquois, or people of the Longhouse, including the Mohawks, were enemies of the Algonquin tribes and hostile to the French. The Mohawks especially were accustomed to make frequent raids on the settlements in Canada, leaving desolation behind them on the St. Lawrence. They would also take captives back to be tortured and burned, or else adopted into the Five Nations of the Iroquois to swell their numbers. If Frenchmen, these captives were often held as prisoners of war, and haughty terms made for their ransom. It happened on one of these raids into Canada that Takakwitha's mother, the Algonquin, was captured. Torn suddenly from a peaceful home and the French friends who were teaching her the prayer, she came to live in Iroquois country. Takakwitha's father thought his wife was too fond of the French Christians, and he did not wish her to have their newborn daughter signed with the ill-omened cross, nor to have the water of baptism poured over her. Takakwitha's mother prayed that one day a black gown would dwell in the land that she now lived in, and that her child might grow up a Christian. 3 years after the birth of Kateri, her father was killed by smallpox, which had spread like wildfire through the Mohawk nation from 1659 to 1660. Her mother died soon thereafter, leaving the child. One soul relates what he learned long afterwards from Anastasia Taganghsinghungo, that in death her mother grieved at not being able to pass on the Christian faith, that she remained a fervent Christian to the last, and that she met death with a prayer on her lips. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. He heard her prayer and would not only take her daughter as one of his own flock, but even to become one of his brides. On the death of Kateri's father, she became an inmate of her uncle, who was chief, Lodge. This is not surprising, considering the life of her people. This uncle was no doubt impoverished, in spite of his honors as chief, as he would have been expected to dispense freely among his tribe. Daughters were always highly prized by the Iroquois. They performed a large part of the household work, and when wedded to some sturdy hunter, the lodge to which a young woman belonged claimed and received whatever her husband brought from the chase. So the aunts and the uncle of Takakwitha acted quite as much from worldly wisdom as from humanity when they decided to give the young orphan a home. She was cared for and taught by her aunts in one of the cabins closed in the palisade. She was learning the arts of the Indians, doing the daily work, and shrinking from all observation. This unsociable habit of hers, for so it must have seemed to her neighbors, was due in part to her own disposition, modest, shy, and reserved, but more than all, perhaps, to the fact that the smallpox had injured her eyesight. As she could not endure much light, she remained indoors, and when forced to go out, her eyes were shaded by her blanket. Little by little, she grew to love a life of quiet and silence. Besides, she showed a wonderful aptness for learning to make all the curious bark utensils and wooden things that were used in the village. Much to her aunt's satisfaction, she had an industrious spirit. This they took care to encourage, as it made her very useful. These aunts were exceedingly vain, and a child of less sense than the young Takakwitha would soon have been spoiled by their foolishness. Those into whose hands Takakwitha fell when her mother died resolved to have her marry very soon, and with this object in mind, they brought her up in all these little vanities. The little Takakwitha, however, who was not yet a Christian, had a natural indifference for all these things. She was like a tree which had not even flowered, but this little wild olive was budding so well into a leaf that it promised some day to bear beautiful fruit. Our beloved saint was preserved from the corruption of her surroundings. She was sweet, patient, chaste, and innocent. This is the testimony that has been given by those who knew her from a very young age, and who, in using this expression, gave in a few words a beautiful description of Takahuitha, for it was said of her that she had no faults.